So I'd like to welcome our listeners to something that's become a mainstay in our, I guess, programming or format.
Sure.
You know, is the postcast, because of the thoughts and the questions that are stimulated when we read certain, you know, passages of the Bible.
Yeah, that's a good way to say it. You know, in the podcast, what we're going after is we want to move through the material and touch on the things that we think we should touch on within reason, you know, trying to strike the balance between both moving forward in the text at a decent pace, but also giving enough explanation that our listeners understand the context and the theology that's on those pages. But in doing that, we don't always surface some of the gut level things that are going on inside us while we read that, you know, and we set those aside in order to accomplish our goal with the podcast. So we created the postcast, which is the opportunity for us to go, man, this is what was going on inside of me when I read that. And what about this? And what about that?
Well, and I think, you know, for me, Bob, and you tell, you know, share your thoughts, Dad, but for me, I'd like to, you know, discuss a little bit more about, you know, Paul's writings on what we read tonight, because it was really sobering. And I, you know, the real key word, couple tonight, but, you know, obedience and cleansing is really, you know, what we read about. And I don't know, you share, Dad, how did that hit you, that obedience and yeah, what did it stimulate in you? Any questions? Any, you know?
Well, obedience, I mean, that's kind of job one.
Yeah.
But so hard, obviously, for mankind to do.
Yeah.
That seemed like a small deviation at the time.
I've often thought, you know, when Solomon realized that God would give him whatever he asked for in order to be king over his people, and he asked for wisdom, that was, in my thinking, second best. That was like a triple off the wall. I mean, that's really good. You need that. But if he only would have asked for obedience, you know, that would have solved every issue.
So wisdom comes, or how would that work? With wisdom comes obedience, or with obedience comes wisdom?
I know. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
It's Jack's observation is good.
Yeah, no, I agree with you totally. You know, when we look at our world today, you know, that's kind of why I'd like to, you know, go through what Paul said a little bit more, you know, because I think there's a greater lesson that's being taught here than what I'm taking away, you know?
Well, so let me refer to that. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we read verses 1 through 13, which was Paul's exposition, basically, of the book of Numbers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he starts verse 14 by saying, therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. And I'm not sure we, as readers of the Numbers text from our position in history now, would go, you know, those people, what their real struggle was idolatry. I think we'd go, they were disobedient, they were ornery, they were rebellious, blah, blah, blah. I'm not sure we would say idolatry was, and Paul clearly labels the whole thing that. And even mentioned it in the text we did read, like verse 7, do not be idolaters as some of them were. I mean, that's the main issue that's driving this whole thing. So idolatry in its broadest sense, you know, putting anything else in God's place, even yourself. And that's what Paul's saying the real issue was in those years. And you can see that, I suppose, now that he puts a name to it, you can go back and go, yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
And that issue, you know, is still with us today. What are we really trusting in? And so on.
Yeah, who's our truth teller?
Yeah, quite
know,
often it's not, you know, God gets the lip service, but it's not really him.
Yeah.
In our lives.
It's, you know, who gave me the best story this week? You know, that made it feel okay for me,
mm-hmm.
you know, as a, is kind of how I see it out there in, you know, in our Western society.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's,
And then
what makes it fun for me? Yeah.
Yeah. And then, yeah, all about me. I mean, these people, even the water requests, it's weird because you have to have that to live. I mean, I understand if you're thirsty and you're out there in a wilderness, I understand saying, hey, God, I'm really thirsty. Come on. I understand that. But there's an element of that that's idolatry in itself. I'm not saying don't tell them you're thirsty. I'm just, you know, asking us all to examine our own hearts and just make them pure before the Lord.
Yeah.
And how about Paul saying that rock was Christ that was following them? I mean, I had just, you try to make an image in your mind, you know,
right.
of what you're reading. So I got these guys like out in Moab here in Utah. So, you know, that's
right.
what I picture it as.
Right.
And, you know,
rocks
the rock. I'm like, well, there's rocks. You know, this happens to be one that they think there's a spring there or something. So, okay, make the spring come forth. And then here's Paul going, you know, that was Jesus. And, by the way, it's following them. Paul says.
Yeah.
Right.
You imagine like these little legs coming out on this rock and it's walking after the camp or something. You know, I don't mean to make light of it, but if you try to picture things in your mind too much, it can almost lead you astray. Just take Paul at his word and go, that was Jesus there.
Yeah, and I almost hear it from the visual it creates is that God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit are there around us.
Yeah, that's what I think Paul's driving. I'm not sure he means that. You know, I don't know. I want to be careful with this.
Right.
But it may not be that actual rock there is Jesus, but that Jesus is the one who's there, who's going to bring that water out of that. He clearly does that in the Gospels, right? In John,
mm-hmm.
you know, he's the source of living water.
Mm-hmm.
Says
right.
that in chapter 4 and then later on. So I understand the use of the figures. I just don't know how exactly that went down in history. But I understand the figures.
Yeah, and what a blessing, you know. And I think that's what, you know, I appreciate about like these postcast discussions, because sometimes, you know, you look at, you know, things like we read today and you're like, wow, really, I guess there's no shot for me then. I mean, Moses and Aaron, you know, they just made that little mistake, man.
Let me touch on that, because, or Jack, did you want to say something?
Well, go ahead and then I'll.
Okay. One point, as I was preparing for this, that a guy made is kind of interesting, but he said, as a leader of God's people in whatever capacity, you have to be really careful to not present yourself as if when they see you, they're looking at God. Like your reaction to things is not necessarily his. It's like we did point out when we read the passage, you didn't see in the words of the text anger from God at that point. You saw it from Moses a lot. And you saw anger from the Lord earlier. Like, Moses, get back. I'm going to kill this whole group. Okay, God was really angry. But in this scene, he's okay. Go and talk to the rock. You know, I know they're thirsty. And it'll bring the water. Moses was mad. So this person's point about that was, as a leader of God's people, be careful that you're not reflecting to them your own feelings as opposed to the Lord's. You know, the only way I know to escape that is you just stick to the text.
Right. Right. You know, because there are a lot of theories that we've all talked about, you know, that we've got to be, you know, just as you said, we've got to be really careful with those because of the position we're in. Mm. You know, we have accepted and heard our call to, you know, share the word further, and you know, we can't be flippant about that.
Mm-hmm. Let's say it this way: if you're called, which we all are, to represent the Lord, make sure you're representing the Lord and not just representing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And your own biases about what's going on and so on. And that's a difficult, you know, Moses failed.
Wow.
And that's the greatest guy I know.
Yeah.
Outside of the Lord, and he failed.
The question I had earlier, and we kind of went by it, and I didn't ask it, but kind of directed at you, Bob. You know, there's all kinds of ways to sin, obviously. But are all of those a form of idolatry?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. You know, in some sense, they are. I don't want to push that answer too far, but in some sense, they are. In another sense, they're all also a form of pride.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone. You know, if God says X,
yeah,
do X.
Pride's a sin.
Yeah, don't
right.
think you know better or you want something other than what he said or what have you. So they all are a sense of pride also. But idolatry is one of those sins that's so broad in concept that just not everything fits under that.
So when you read that word.
Yeah, that's what Paul labeled it.
So it's really keep your eye on the prize, you know, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take your eye off the ball, maybe is a even better way to say it.
Yeah. And what they quite often did in the Old Testament, you know, James, we were talking about this out in the other room, with the first few pages of the book. You know, if one of the gods doesn't work for you, find the next guy. You know, just keep trying them until you find one that works. Seems to be the approach of
mm-hmm.
most of the people in the Old Testament. And it's just like, if it's not working for you, that isn't the central issue.
Well, and I think it's, you know, that same thing happens today. I think
a thousand times over. Yeah.
That
people are searching.
Yeah. You know, okay, I think you had a conversation with a couple of people that were saying, yeah, you know, we've hit that point in life where, you know, we're going to maybe explore a couple of things, you know, maybe jump into some Zen Buddhism or, you know, really,
uh-huh.
you know.
Yeah, find something that works.
Right.
And you're just going, oh, gosh.
And ultimately, they're looking for something that makes themselves feel better.
Yeah.
In
the short term.
Yeah.
There's only one thing that works
mm-hmm.
in the long term. So.
I think I'll have a chance down the road to
come back to
it. Yeah. They're out of town and have been for months.
Sure. James, any questions?
No, just listening right now.
Okay.
You guys are doing
good. Oh?
Anything else, Jamie? Jack?
You know, that's
pretty heavy couple of chapters.
Yeah, no, it literally, you know, we've, you know, Dad and I have talked about this many times since coming to faith. You know, you start to go through the realization of things you can't do anymore. And, you know, that obedience is tough. But when you take tonight's verses, and it really reminds you what's at stake.
Mm-hmm.
You know what, and what the simple thing we're asked to do. Believe.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like he's strapping us down with all this, you know, baggage
mm-hmm.
that's unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All he says is, believe.
Well, that's right.
And then also, you know, my word for what you're expressing is, oftentimes the pages of the Bible are remarkably sobering. I mean, it's ever since chapter 3, there is death. He has conquered that, but there is death. He said, the day you do that, you will die, and he wasn't kidding. So he's not, when I say he, of course, referring to the Lord, but he's not an enabler in any way. And I just want to caution people who perceive, whether it's on a spoken level or a level treasured in our hearts, that because God is gracious, that he's always going to be gracious. I would caution people, you know, don't confuse his grace with his acceptance of what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Don't confuse those two, because eventually he holds us all to account.
Right.
Well, Jamie, I've heard this from you numerous times, and I, you know, agree with it so much, you know, that people can't just believe in God, they have to believe God, and it's all,
yeah,
you know,
right,
God's
there.
He's all in there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great point, too, because Moses, you know, at that point in chapter 20, where he hits the rock, he believes in God.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no question, but he didn't believe God about that one particular instance.
Right.
Pretty stiff penalty for that.
Well, and you think of the staff, I mean,
we're all doomed.
That staff has been pretty, has worked pretty good for Moses up till this point.
And recall this from that passage. God said, take the staff.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't say, get the rock.
Mm-hmm.
But he was supposed to take the staff.
That's that same staff
he held up,
right?
Yeah.
You know, and the same one that turned into a serpent and back again
mm-hmm.
when he grabbed it. So, you know, in a sense, I kind of feel, you know, sorry for Moses, you know.
I do, too.
Like,
I told
wow,
you,
bro.
I've lost sleep over that.
Yeah,
passage.
Man,
that's pretty harsh.
Yeah, I
think he was right. You get somebody else to do this.
Yeah.
I'm not up to this.
Yeah.
You know, but, yeah, because, I mean, my first inclination, I guess, the reason it didn't spring out to me, I'm like, well, yeah, his staff has been,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's been his...
Mm-hmm.
You know, his tool.
He said, speak to the rock.
So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's close the postcast as well. Lord, we, at this time, try to surface your workings in our spirit, deep inside us, and you stir things up to our memory, our minds, and we ask you, through the power of your Spirit that indwells us, to work what you have set for us into the fabric of our being, and let us jettison the refuse, but the jewels that you surface, work them into our fiber. In Jesus' name.